Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makos Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we noticed a din of Rabo. This was featured at the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Rabo mentioned Ein Chiluk Melachos V'Yom Tov. What does that mean, Ein Chiluk Melachos B'Yom Tov? That means that as opposed to Shabbos, if one on Shabbos, for example, violates multiple Shabbos offenses, he will be liable to bringing, if he does it in a state of unawareness, he'll be liable to bringing multiple korbonos. In the case of Yom Tov, if one violates multiple Melachos on Yom Tov, and he were to do it knowingly, according to Rabo, he would not be chayev multiple sets of malkos. Regarding that position, the Gemara raised a question from a Tanaic source, from a Braisa, that began with the words Hamavashu Gid Hanoshe, that was found at the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Beis in the framed section. In that source, there was a reference to 5 malkos. Amongst the list of offenses, there was noted Mevashel B'Yom Tov and Havora. Those two had been dashed, underlined in our marking system. That shows that as far as the 5 offenses, 2 of them are because of Yom Tov violation. But if you say that there is Ein Chiluk Melachos B'Yom Tov, as Rabo contended, then we could not account for 2 of the 5 offenses as being Yom Tov offenses. Because, as Rabo says, even if one violates multiple offenses in Yom Tov, that would account only for 1 set of malkos. It is with this question that we are now picking up today's Gemara on Daf Chof Beis Amud Aleph. We have a question, as we just noted, and we have now a series of responses. They appear in a triangle, as you can see in the markings. Notice at the side of the Gemara we have a Mivneh comment. That is a reference to a structural comment. The triangle is featured, and it indicates Tshuvos al Kushya Shehikshu al Rabo Sheomar Ein Chiluk Melachos B'Yom Tov. We will now see responses to the question that we asked on Rabo from the source of Hamavashu Gid Hanoshe. These represent, as we mentioned, answers to that particular question. So we continue with the Gemara. Apik Havora, take out. Apik means take out or delete from the list that was featured at the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Delete from that list Havora, which technically was at the top line on this Amud, where you see the dashed underlined expression. Va'ayil, and bring into the list and replace it with Gid Hanoshe Shel Nevela. That he would be getting Malkos, 5 Malkos, as the source mentioned, and 1 of the 5 will be for consuming, for eating the Gid Hanoshe of an unslaughtered animal, of an avail, an animal that didn't receive a proper Shechita. So he's getting Malkos for Achilas Gid Hanoshe of Nevela. Of course, that offense is not a Yom Tov related offense. It's an offense that's related to Achilas Dvorim Asurim, the consumption of eating forbidden items, forbidden foods. And in this case, the forbidden food of Nevela. Rashi says on the 4th line from the top, Gid Hanoshe Shel Nevela, Deloike Af Mishum Nevela She'ochal. He's getting Malkus for the consumption of Nevela, which is a forbidden food item. The Gemara asks, on this particular question, V'hotoni Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya presents a Tanaic source, which is a question. Loike shtayim al achiloso v'shalosh al bishulo. that the five Malkos that are featured in the source at the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Beis accounts for two Malkos for matters of eating and three Malkos for matters concerning the cooking. The Esau, if we are going to take out Havora from the list, the issue of burning something on Yom Tov, and we're going to replace it with the issue of eating of Nevela, then you know what is going to happen? Sholosh alachilasuhu chayav. It's going to come out that there will be three offenses for eating. And as Rabbi Chiya's source says, there can only be two of the five for eating, not three of the five. Elo apik havora, so rather take out havora from the original list so as to preserve Rabbah's position, the ayo atse asherah, and insert into the list instead, replace havora with the use of avodah zorah, of idolatrous wood for the cooking. So this is not an eating prohibition, this is a cooking related prohibition, and we thereby maintain Rabbi Chiya's rule as well. The Azhorose Mehocham and the Torah prohibition concerning the use of Asherah wood is learned from the following. Valu Yidbak Biyodcha Me'uma Menacherim. The Posuk indicates that from one is not allowed to benefit whatsoever from Avodah Zorah material. Omale Rav Acho Brei de Rav Ravashi. Velu Ki Nami Mishum Lo Sovi Toyeva El Beisecha. If the source indicates a list of offenses, and we got up to five Malkos, and one of them is the use of the Avodah Zorah material, well then there should be an additional set of Malkos for this offense of Lo Sovi Toev El Besocha, that thou shalt not bring abomination into your house. And idolatrous wood is Toevo, is abomination. Notice we have a new triangle. We still have to deal with the original question that was posed to Rabbah. So what is this source talking about? Kagon shebishlo be'atze hegdish. So we delete the Avodah Zorah, the idolatrous wood suggestion, and replace it with the use of hegdish, of sanctified wood, for his personal cooking of the Gid Hanoshe. The Azorose Mehocham, the Torah prohibition concerning the use of Atse Hegdish, of sanctified wood for personal use, is learned from the following. The Asherehem Tisrefun Bo'esh Lo Yisasun Kein Lashem Elokechem. The Pasuk indicates that you shall burn Avodah Zorah, and do not burn sanctified material. Lashem Elokechem is a reference to those items that are sanctified to Hashem. So at this point in the Gemara, we can say that we have five offenses, two of which are eating related. We have the Achilas Gid, and we have Achilas Basar B'Cholav, and we have the other three offenses that are cooking related, and we took out Havora from the list, thereby preserving Rabbah's din of Ein Chiluk Melachos Biyom Tov, and we replaced it with Mevashel Ba'atzei Hegdish, cooking with the use of sanctified wood, which is prohibited. As we go on in the Gemara, we now have a Simon. This is an abbreviation that is a reference to a series of questions that the Gemara will raise momentarily. So the Simon is Shan Be'oi Shanaz. We have a diamond marking featured, one of our geometric forms indicating a series. You can see on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh heading, the diamond represents Hatzois Lelavin, suggestions for additional negative offenses, Malkos, that would result in lashings, Nosafin, additional ones, Velo Rak, Hey, and not just five that were featured in the source at the bottom, Shenuchal L'chayev Oisoi, we can, with these additional ones, M'chayev him, with these additional suggestions, M'chayev him more. And the list begins with Choresh B'Telem V'chulei, etc. We will see the suggestions as they come up in the Gemara. we will also see in the markings a double underline, which is one of our series markings. In the case of the double underline, we're featuring the expression Velech Shovnami. Why not also consider, etc. So as we turn to the Gemara, we see now the questions. Maskif lo Rav Hoshaya, Velech Shovnami. Why not consider in the list of offenses the following: Hazareya v'nachal Eson, one who plants in the Nachal Eson is an area that the Eglo Arufa was, the Eglo Arufa ceremony took place. That's a situation where a murder victim is found between two cities, and there is a measuring done to determine the city closest to the location of the murdered victim. The Torah then commands that that city has to bring an Eglah Arufa, and the calf that's brought there, its neck is broken, and there is a ceremony involving the elders of that particular city. And the Torah says that that area is not to be cultivated ever again. And the suggestion here is that, well, we could have this fellow who is we must correct a serious error that we just made in our explanation. The list of questions that are featured by the diamonds here is a suggestion of increasing the number of lavim that are featured in the Mishnah that was at the top of Chof Aleph Amid Beis, where the Mishnah mentioned Yesh Choresh Telem Echad B'chayv Alav Mishum Shmoin Alavim. The Mishnah mentioned multiple offenses for one action, that of plowing a furrow, whereby in the one act of plowing the furrow, one could encounter 8 offenses at one time. This is the correct pshat, as opposed to how we explained before, as referring to the brisa at the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Beis, where a list of 5 offenses were mentioned. But at this point in the Gemara, with our corrected pshat, we are suggesting adding to the list of 8 offenses in the act of plowing that was featured in the Mishnah, so that the Mivneh reading at the side is, it's Hatzos Lelavin Malkos Nosofin LeMishnosenu V'lo Rak Shmoina, not just 8, Shenuchal L'chayvoso, in the Mishnah that featured Chorish Betelem V'chulei. So, with this corrected pshat in mind, we had mentioned the issue of the Eglah Arufa, the ceremony that's done with the breaking of the neck of the calf with regard to the city closest to the found murdered victim, and the prohibition for cultivating such an area is learned from the pasuk, as the Gemara says, "Biasa rosei mehocha, asher lo ye'ove boi velo yizorea." That area that over which the neck of the Eglah Arufa is broken is not to be cultivated ever again. So that if one is plowing such a furrow and at the same while dropping seeds into it, he would be in violation of this offense. So the question is, why does the Mishnah limit itself to 8 offenses when this could have been added as well? As we go on in the Gemara, you can see visually with the geometric forms, there's a series of questions, and the truth is that we're not going to encounter an answer to the list of questions that are featured here. Let's continue, though, in the text. Maskif lo Rav Chananya. Rav Chananya raises an objection, namely a suggestion for an additional set of malkos. V'lech shovnami, why not consider also ha-moichik es ha-shem b'halichosoi, that while he is drawing the plow, he's actually going over the holy name of God that's written, and while drawing his plow, he's erasing the name of Hashem. So in the act of plowing, he's also violating the erasing of Hashem's name. The Asorase Mehocha, and the Torah prohibition concerning erasing Hashem's name is learned from the following pasuk: V'ibadetem es shmom loy sa'asun kein l'Hashem elokechem. that the Pasuk indicates one shall eradicate the names of idols, but not to do thusly with regard to Hashem. Maskif law, Rabbi Avo, v'lech shovnami hakoitzes es baharto. Why not consider this offense, that as he is working the plow, he is also cutting off a nega that developed on his flesh, the removal of negoyim from a person's body. Negoyim is referred to as parshas mitzorot or tzoras, the different discolorations of one's skin that are associated with tuma, as is dictated by the Torah. When those types of discolorations appear, they're not to be cut off or removed surgically by an individual. And the Torah prohibition concerning that is learned from Hishomer Benega Hatzaras. So, could that not have been considered in the list of offenses one violates while doing the act of plowing? Maskif lo abai v'lech shovnami hamaziach hachoshen me'al ha'efoid v'hamesir badei oron, that while he is drawing the plow, he, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if there were the big day kohen, including that is the Kohen Gadol's breastplate that's placed on the ephod garment, and there's a prohibition of removing the choshen, the breastplate, from the ephod. And likewise, while he's drawing his plow, he may be involved with removing the poles of the Oron from the Oron, from the Holy Ark containing the Ten Commandments. There's a prohibition of removing those poles from the Oron HaKodesh. The Azorose Mehocha Lo Yosuru, that's referring to the Bade Oro, not to remove the poles, for Lo Iza HaKoshen, nor is one allowed to move or remove the breastplate from the ephod. So, once again, while he's involved with the plowing, may he not be also involved with these prohibitions, and they could have been added to the list. Maskif lo ravashi v'lech shovnami hachoresh ba'atzei asherah, that he is plowing using asherah wood. V'asorosei mehocha, that he's using a plow that's made of atzerah material, atzei asherah material, wood of an idolatrous tree. V'asorose mehocha v'lo yudbak b'yodcha me'uma. We saw this quoted above. Maskif lo ravino v'lech shavami ha-koitzetz ilonos tovos. While he's drawing his plow, maybe he's cutting down through the weight of the plow, knocking into fruit-bearing trees. Those are ilonos tovos. V'asorose mehocha, and the Torah prohibition concerning chopping down or removal of fruit-bearing trees is learned from ki mimeno tochal v'oso loy sichrois. Omar le Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Moni. We have an unusual diamond over here, a dashed diamond. We feature this on the side, under the following heading, the Nosei Hemshech, continued topic that we are in the midst of, Mivneh, with the structural note, featuring a couple of new markings that now appear. We see the dashed diamond. Hatzah azu, this suggestion, nidches, is going to be rejected. As opposed to the other suggestions that we saw along the way, we did not notice any rejections of those. In fact, Tosfos in Dibur HaMaskil Maskif lo Rav Hoshaya makes note of the fact that the Gemara here doesn't respond to all of these maskifs, all of these questions. However, this particular one will be rejected in the Gemara itself. So let's read our comment on the side again. Hatzah zu nidches. This is a hatzah v'hoisif barashima shel ho'averos. We are going to try to suggest with regard to the list of prohibitions, mi shenishba v'omar, someone who swore and said shvua shlo echrosh b'yomtov, that he swears not to plow on yomtov, and he go ahead and he v'ovar al shvuas, when he violates his oath. So could that not have been added to the list of offenses mentioned in the Mishnah? Notice in the Mishnah we had a person who was plowing, and the sixth offense in the Mishnah was he was plowing on Yom Tov. So could we not have discussed an individual that also swore not to plow on Yom Tov, and he, by doing this, he is violating his Shvuah? And that would account for an additional Malkos. So here, let's read this now in the Gemara. The Lechshov Nami Kegoin De'omar Shvuah Shelo Echroish B'Yom Tov. We have another geometric form, the crown form. We featured this also on the side of the Gemara. Dechios lahatzo hanal. We'll now see rejections to this particular suggestion. So the Gemara answers, Hasam lo kachola shvua. With regard to this suggestion, the shvua never got started. It never took effect. Why not? Mushba v'oimed mehar Sinai hu. You can see with our markings, the phrase marking, that means you should read this phrase together, Mushba v'oimed mehar Sinai, and we have a connector, who? The he is bound from the giving of the Torah not to violate Yom Tov through melacha activity, through constructive activity. And since he is bound already, he's previously bound from Matan Torah, the Torah, so to speak, binds him by oath not to violate Yom Tov. Therefore, since he's already bound, his new shvuah, his new oath, doesn't have room to take hold. It's already taken care of, so to speak, Mehar Sinai. So, we saw that Rabbi Zera had asked Rav Moni this, and Rav Moni then offered this response of Mushba v'yomim ha'sina. So Rabbi Zeira comes and asks, Omar le, kagon di Omar, shvua shelo echrosh bein b'chol bein b'yom tov. Why could it not be suggested that he swore not to plow at all, whether it be during a weekday or during the holiday? De migu de cholo ale shvua b'chol, that migu means since the shvua is takes hold, chola, it takes hold regarding regarding the weekdays, it will take hold also regarding Yom Tov. In other words, once there's partial room for the oath to take hold, namely, he swears not to plow during a weekday. The weekday, of course, is he has the option of plowing. It's a davar rishus. It's something allowed. And therefore, if he swears not to do it, the shvuah would take hold. And since this particular fellow's shvuah takes hold with regard to one aspect, it will also take hold regarding Yom Tov, even though Yom Tov per se is Mushba v'yomid mehar Sinai. But through the institution of Migu that the Gemara just made reference to, since it has room to take hold with regard to one area, it takes hold regarding the other areas as well. So the question then is, why is this not included in the list, this phenomenon of his having sworn? So the Gemara answers, Midi de'ise b'she'ela lo katani. The list of eight that the Mishnah features does not contain something that can be rescinded through she'ela. She'ela means approaching a Talmud Chacham, approaching a Torah sage, and having it through the power of she'ela, where one can rescind oaths and different types of nidorim and shvuos, different types of obligations that one accepts upon himself. The Torah allows for the rescission of those through approaching a Talmud Chacham. Things like that that can be rescinded are not included in the list. The Gemara asks, "Velo, is that really so? Vare hegdish?" But the list made mention of his plowing with animals that were sanctified, mukdoshim. And now hektish is something that can be rescinded. So the Gemara answers no. The hektish that was referenced to in the Mishnah, under like number 2, you can see in the list that appeared at the top of Chof Aleph Amid Beis, that was a type of sanctity that's known as bivachor. Bechor, the firstborn. Firstborn animals are holy, but they are not something that can be rescinded through she'ela, through approaching a Torah sage and having it rescinded. The Gemara asks, but is that really so? Vahare nazir. The Mishnah made reference to, in number 8, that the fellow who was plowing happened to be a nazir who was plowing in a cemetery. And a nazir is the institution of nazirus, Nazirite, that can be rescinded through approaching a Talmud Chacham and expressing his desire to have himself released from that state. The Gemara says, no, the case of Nazir referred to in the Mishnah was a special Nazirus that cannot be rescinded, but Nazir Shimshon, where one accepted upon himself to be a Nazir like Shimshon, who was also a Nazir in the Tanakh, who was a Nazir, a permanent type Nazir, a Nazir Mibeten. He accepted upon himself that type of Nazirus, and that cannot be rescinded. The Gemara asks, well, but Nazir Shimshon doesn't conform to the circumstances of the list. Nazir Shimshon bar itmuyeh lemesimhu. But one who accepts upon himself the Shimshon Nazirite status, he is allowed to defile himself to the dead. And the Mishnah, on the other hand, makes reference to the Nazir who is violating Tumah. That would not match with the case of Nazir Shimshon, who is allowed to violate, to defile himself to the dead. The question then is, and we've dashed underlined the original question in this section of the Gemara, why not include in the list the fellow who swore not to plow on Yom Tov? Why is that not included? Elohim Tana Isur Kolel Lesle. This Tana does not list types of offenses that are achieved by including other things. In the most recent suggestion, we had his plowing on Yom Tov prohibited by the fact that he was kolel, that he included with the Yom Tov issue the weekday where he swore not to plow on weekdays as well as plowing on Yom Tov. And we said, Migu, that since his Shavuah takes in a weekday, it also can take in, can include the plowing on Yom Tov. But that is called kolel. That's through inclusion, namely that Yom Tov is included together with chol. That kind of prohibition, where it becomes prohibited only by virtue of the fact that it's included with something else, that is not the topic of our Tana, of our Mishnah. And hence, this suggestion, this most recent suggestion, falls away. The Gemara now mentions, since we mentioned in our Mishnah the issue of Kilayim, mentions a halacha concerning Psulei HaMukdashim. Let's just mention that Psulei HaMukdashim is a situation where a person sanctified an animal for the Mizbeach as a korban, as a sacrifice, and it became unfit. It developed a mum. It developed some type of blemish that renders it unfit as a sacrifice. That's called Psulei HaMukdashim. The procedure concerning such animals is that one transfers the sanctity that exists on those creatures onto money and uses the money to buy new korbanos. The animal itself is now allowed to be slaughtered and eaten in one's privacy. Namely, not necessarily, not in the Beis HaMikdash, but in private. Even though one is allowed to eat such animals, they nevertheless don't totally lose their holy status. There are still some restrictions that regard those animals. So that if you have a Psulei HaMukdashim, an animal that had been redeemed, it is not allowed to be shorn for its wool. It is not allowed to be fed to the dogs, for example. Rashi features some of these different prohibitions. With that in mind, the Psulei HaMukdashim is, we can say, is partial chol, partial mundane, regular, and partial hektish. So it has two identities. That is, within one animal, you have two identities. With that in mind, let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Hoshaya, we've noted him with an aleph because we want to draw your attention to the fact that Rabbi Yitzchak, who is noted as Beis a little bit later, also comments on the same matter of Psulei HaMukdashim. So Rav Hoshaya says, Hamarbia Shor Psulei HaMukdashim Loike Shnayim, that one who There's another reading here that says that would suggest Hamarbia Shor Psule Hamukdoshim Loike, that one who tries to mate a Psule Hamukdoshim animal with another animal, even if it be with another Psule Hamukdoshim animal, is in violation. He is Loke. Rashi elaborates on this and mentions that he's Loke in terms of prohibitions that he features. Let's see this together in the Rashi itself. Hamarbia Shor Psul Mukdashim, the first of the wide lines, She Nifdeh, the sanctified animal that was also redeemed, it happened to be redeemed, Afilu Al Mino, that means he's Marbia, the Shor Psul Mukdashim, even on something that's similar to it, Loike, he is in violation and gets lashes. Sharei Guf Echod Hu, Vaso Kosov Shnei Gufin, even though it's one physical body, the Torah views it as two different varieties, type of kilayim. The Torah's chulin, the Torah's kachim, yeshalov. It has these two aspects. It has the mundane aspect and the holy aspect. Torah's chulin, shemuter b'achila, michutz lepesach oil moyed, kilu lohukdosh me'olam. It's considered mundane in the sense that one eats it outside the oil moyed, outside the Beis HaMikdash, as if it were never sanctified. The Torah's kochim she'osu begiza vavoda. It's considered holy in the sense that these animals are forbidden to be shorn for their wool and to be used in other activities, such as cultivations, plowing. Kenamriyim b'sifri, as the Medrash says, quoting the pasuk b'chol avas nafshachot tizbach v'yachalta basar. That's the pasuk regarding the psula hamukdoshim. Ba'me'a kosim medaber. Im bibasar taiva, if you were to think that this pasuk is referring to standard desirous flesh, meaning standard chulin meat, hare kvar omor ki yarchiv Hashem elokecha es gvulcha ki sab enafshecha. There's another pasuk that accounts for that. So the question is, what does the pasuk of b'chol avas nafshecha refer to? Im bachilas kochim, if you were to think that it's a reference to the eating of sanctified animals, of sacrificial meat, hare kvar omor ki im bamokoim shom ta'ale. There is a restriction that you must eat it only in the Beis HaMikdash. Ha'ein ha'kosu medaber ela b'psul mikdoshim shivdu. Therefore, this pasuk, the chol avas nashva tizbach v'yochal tobosar, is a reference to those animals that were once sanctified and developed imperfections and were redeemed. Tizbach, the word tizbach that's found in this pasuk, is a reference to slaughtering. The lo giza, the osur begiza avoda, that one slaughters it. Don't confuse the word tizbach in this pasuk with the shoresh zevach, referring to the mizbeach. Tizbach, for our purposes, means slaughtering. And it means it's used for slaughtering and not for other things, namely not for shearing nor for activities. Bosar velo cholov. The pasuk featured the word bosar, means use it for its meat and not for milk production. V'yachalta velo l'klovecha, that you shall eat it. V'yachalta, meaning you eat it and not give it to your dogs. V'hilkoch osur laharbio afilu imino mishum kilayim. And this is really the main point, that for our purposes, that it's forbidden to mate it with other animals, even with something that has the same characteristics of itself. Why is that? Shemarbia chulin al kochim al kochim al chulin, because it's as if he is mating the mundane with the holy. As we mentioned before, psulim gdoshim contains both aspects. V'chein b'manhig, similarly, using it to draw a cart. Afilu manhig yimino, even if he attaches two animals of the same nature to a cart and has them draw it. Afilu manhigo bifnei atzmo, even without attaching another animal, just using itself to draw a cart. What is the situation? Chulin v'kotshim hu. It's two varieties. It's like, for our purposes, it's like drawing a cart with a donkey and an ox, which is Torah prohibited. V'kotshim, it's chulin v'kotshim hu, v'chayav mishum kilayim v'charisha. And one is considered violating the prohibition of plowing with mixed varieties. Du atzmo kilayim, the animal itself, the psul mikdashim itself is kilayim. Shasona kosuv shnei gufin. The verse made it like two separate bodies. With that, we conclude the Rashi. Let us now turn back to the Gemara. So after having mentioned Rav Hoshio's din of marbi, of mating psul hamikdashim with another animal, one is in violation, as if he were violating this, mating a sheep with a goat. So too over here, the psul hamikdashim is considered chulin and mikdashim, two separate varieties. Omar Rav Yitzchak hamanig b'shor psul hamikdashim loiker. We saw this referred to in the Rashi we just read, one who draws a cart using a psuli hamukdashim animal is also in violation. Chare guf echod hu, even that it's true, it's one physical body. Vasal kosuv kishne gufin. The posuk makes it as if it's two different bodies, two different varieties. Mishnah. Kamo malkin oisoi. When one is guilty of lashes because he violates a Torah prohibition, a negative command, how many lashes does he get? Does he get for one offense? Arboim choser achas. He gets 39, literally 40 minus 1. Shenema b'mispar arboim. The word b'mispar comes from the end of Pasuk Beis, and the Pasuk Arboim comes from the beginning of Pasuk Gimel. Notice on the side of the Gemara, we've written in Devorim Chof Hei Pasuk Beis. It says, "V'hoyo im bin hakoyis harosha v'pilu hashefet v'kol lefonav kedei rishoso b'mispar." And the Pasuk basically means that if one is found to be guilty, he gets lashes according to the number. And then Pasuk Gimel says, "Arboim yakenu lo yosef." He is to get 40 lashes, not more. So the Tanakama takes the last word of Pasuk Beis and connects it with the first word of Pasuk Gimel, and creates this drosha, b'mispar arboim. And the Mishnah explains, "Minyon shu somuch l'arboim," a number that's next to 40. What is the number next to 40? Next to, but not including, 39. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, arboim shlemos hu loket. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't have this particular approach of attaching the last word of Pasuk Beis to the first word of Pasuk Gimel, and he says that the number that the Torah features is 40, and that would be the result of the simple reading of Pasuk Gimel, arboim yakenu. So 40 complete lashes he gets. Veheichon hu lokes hayesera. Since the number 40 is not divisible by 3, so whereas 39 is divisible by 3, so the question the Mishnah raises is, where is the extra one to be applied? Answer, Bein Ksefov, between his shoulders. Ein oimden oisoi ela b'makos ruyos lishtalish. When we estimate how many lashes a person gets, the estimation must result in a number that can be divided by 3. In other words, if a person is estimated to be capable of receiving 20 lashes and remaining alive after that level of pain, then we say he's not going to get 20, because 20 is not a number divisible by 3. He will rather get 18. 18 being the closest number to 20, and not going over the number that is still divisible by 3. Amdu lekabel arboim veloike miktas. Let us say that a person was judged, estimated that he could receive 40 lashes, and he received part of them. And after receiving part of them, the Omdu She'en Yochol Lekabel Arboim, they then concluded that he's not capable of receiving any more than he already received. Potter, he is exempt. He doesn't receive any more. The idea being here is that since he experienced some bizoyon, embarrassment in Beis Din by having received a partial number, we say that that's enough. That's provided he, as at this point, that he received some of the lashes. Another case Beis, Amdu Lekabel Shmoina Asrei, he was evaluated as being capable of being Shmoina Asrei, 18 lashes, Umishaloka, and after he received the total 18, Amdu Shiochel Hu Lekabel Arboim, they said this man is capable of receiving the full amount, up till 40. Potter, he does not receive any more than 18, he is exempt. Let us take a look at the Rashi at the top. The Omdu She'en Yochol Lekabel Potter. The Mishnah mentioned that after he received a partial number of the lashes that he was originally evaluated with, and in the course of the lashings it was concluded he can't take any more, so he is exempt. Rashi continues, the Kevon de Nispazi based in the Loka Ksas, since he experienced disparagement in the court by having received part of the number of lashings, Sagi Leibachi, that is enough. Avo Loi Loka, however, if he did not receive any lashings, Elo Amdu L'Arboim, rather, you have a situation that he was estimated with the ability of receiving 40, the Chozru V'omdu, and then they reevaluated, She'ein Yochel Lekabel Kulam, he can't handle all of them. Lo Miftar, he is not considered exempt from the total number, from the full number of 40. The Ein Rashoyin L'Groya Oimed, they are not allowed to reduce the original evaluation. Elo Loike Acharzman, rather, he will receive the balance afterwards. In other words, let's go over this case. They originally assumed they made an evaluation that he could receive 40. And before anything happened, they said, no, he can't handle all 40, he can handle only 18. Rashi just mentions that what will happen in such a case is that he'll get the 18, and later on, he'll get the balance, sometime later. V'hochinami, the second case featured in the Mishnah, im amdu l'shmoyne asar, he was evaluated with able to handle only 18. Umishaloka chazru v'amdu shiochol adayin l'kabel arboyim, after he received 18, they said this man can handle more. Potter, he is exempt. Mishum deloka, and that's because he received the actual lashings. Avoloi loka, however, if he didn't receive anything, Rashoyin Lahoisif al Oimed Rishon, if you have a situation where he was initially evaluated with being able to handle only 18, and before anything happened they said, no, this guy could actually handle more, then we will give him more than 18. Turning to the Gemara, my Taimo, what is the reason for 39? How is the Tanakama convinced that the number of lashings for a violation of a Torah offense is 39? The Gemara clarifies, Iksiv arboy b'mispar, if the Torah had written this expression, Havamino arboim b'minyona, I would have thought that it's 40 in number. Hashta dichtib, however, now that the Torah expression is b'mispar arboim, equals that expression, as it does actually appear in the Torah, is minyon shu soikim es harboim, a number that concludes in 40. Namely, it's a number that once you achieve that particular number, the concluding number after it is 40. So the actual number is 39, because 39 is a number that would conclude in 40. Namely, following it, you would achieve 40. So the mispar arboim means that number which exists right before 40. Omar Rova, kamo tipshoi shar inchi, how foolish the general population is. the kaimi mekami sefer Torah, we know that people show respect to a Torah scroll. They stand up out of respect to a Torah scroll that's passing by them. Below kaimi mekami gavri rabba, and yet people don't show similar respect to Torah sages. The ilu b'sefer Torah k'siv arboim. When you look at the Torah on first glance, a superficial glance, you see that a person is penalized with 40 lashes. The Osu Rabbonon Bosru Chana, and the Rabbonon came to the benefit of the masses and reduced it by one through the power of their drosha, through the power of Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Droshas Rabbonon, the exposition of the rabbis with regard to the written law, actually serves to benefit the people. So you would think that if they're showing respect for the Torah, which provides a stringency on the masses, all the more so should the masses show honor to those who benefit them, namely the Rabbanan, who reduce the severity of the penalty. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Arboim Shlemos, and the Mishnah went on to said, Vehechon Loikin Es Hayesero, and the Mishnah answered, Bein Ksefov, the 40th lash would be applied between his shoulders. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, my time of Rabbi Yehuda. What is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's position that the additional lashing is between the shoulders? Tichtiv, the pasuk says, Maha Mako Yisraela Bein Yodecha V'yoma Asher Hukesi Beis Mahavoi. So the pasuk, and we've, with the markings indicated with the dash and the line, Bein Yodecha, between one's arms, that's a reference to between one's shoulders. The Rabbonan, what are the Rabbonan who don't subscribe to this particular drasha, what do they say that posuk refers to? Hahu betinoikis shel beis rabban hu dechtiv. That posuk is a reference to the children that are afflicted because of the sins of the masses, the children of the Jewish people that are base rabbon that study Torah. Ein oimdin elo b'makos huruyos v'chulei. The Mishnah went on to say, mishaloka poter. You'll notice we have a little arrow here in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. This arrow is to draw your attention to a previous arrow, and you can see that opposite the second line from the top, where the Mishnah mentioned that after receiving 18, if they made a new evaluation that he could handle more, so he's exempt. So according to the Mishnah, the emphasis is placed on umishaloka. If he received, in other words, the exemption of the Mishnah, which was featured in a house form, the potter word here and on the first line as well, the Mishnah's exemption, actually in both cases, in the Aleph case and the first line as well, are exemptions that are achieved after he received lashings. In other words, the exemption comes about only after some physical disparagement took place. And the Gemara points that out right now. Loka in. If he was lashed in, yes. In means yes. Yes, he is exempt. Loi loka, lo. If he received no lashings, then the fact that we already made an evaluation, it was re-evaluated, a second evaluation was made later, the fact that he underwent a first evaluation, that does not exempt him. In other words, as we saw featured in the Rashi above, if they initially made an evaluation that he could receive 18, and before anything happened, they re-evaluated and they said he could actually handle more, then, according to the Mishnah, he would get more. He wouldn't be restricted to the first evaluation of 18. To this, the Gemara raises an objection. V'raminu, we have a Tanaic source that's featured in the framed section. Omdu l'kabel arboim. They evaluated that he could receive, that he could handle 40. V'chazru v'omdu v'omru she'ein yochol l'kabel arboim. According to the reevaluation, they concluded that he cannot handle 40. Potter. He is exempt. Notice we've dashed underlined the word potter. We see here exemption even without having received any lashings between the two evaluations. Omduhu lekabel shmona esrei. He was evaluated; he could handle shmona esrei, 18 lashings. The chozru v'omduhu shiyochol lekabel arboyim poter. This is in contrast, or in contradiction, to the very same case in the Mishnah, where in the Mishnah's case, if he received an evaluation of 18, he will be exempt from any more only if he was physically lashed the 18, but not if, not in a case where nothing happened, but yet here nothing physically happened to him. There was simply an original evaluation of 18. Even though they reevaluate and say he could handle more, it doesn't matter, he's still exempt. Omar Rav Sheshes lo kashya. Rav Sheshes resolves the two sources and says there's no contradiction. Ha di amduhu liyoymi, ha di amduhu lemochra o liyoyma ach uchra. To explain this section of the Gemara, we'll turn to Rashi. Rashi, you'll see in the upper part of the narrow lines, ha di amduhu liyoymi, where he was evaluated on that day, masnisen beamdu liyoyme. The Mishnah features a case where he was where the evaluation was made regarding that day. Lekabel arboyim oishmoina esrei. Vehilkach ki chazru viamdu bo bayom she'ein yochol lekabel oy yochol. Where on the very same day a reevaluation was made. A second oimed was made. Igloi milsa the oimed shelahem lohe klum. It shows that the original evaluation was of no substance. Kivon debo bayom sosro, because by the fact that on the very same day they contradicted it or they changed it. Koma shamdu, they sosru koma shamdu. They contradicted everything they had said. Shere ze lo nishtane v'lo hikrish b'sheus mu'ad kazeh. As far as the defendant is concerned, nothing physically happened to him that would explain any change in such a short amount of time. V'yesh lomar dehem tov ba'oimed. And therefore there's room for saying that they made a mistake in their first evaluation. Hilkoch ki omdu t'chilu l'arboyim v'chozru v'omdu bo'y ba'yom she'ein yochol l'kabel. Therefore, if on a particular day they evaluated that he could handle 40, and then they change their minds on the very same day and say he cannot handle. Im loka miktsasan, if he received part of them, potrin ososherin isbase, then he's exempted because he experienced disparagement. However, v'im loy loka, if he received nothing, in other words, there was an evaluation on a given day that he could receive, he could handle 40, and then they changed their minds and said he can't handle 40, and he didn't get any lashes in the interim. Hare hu kemi shelo amduhu klal. He is considered someone as if he had no evaluation. The achshav hu dema'ainu bedine, and it is only now that they are looking into his case. V'yomru ein yochol, and they're saying he can't handle it. Umamtinen loy ad shiyavri, we wait for him to become healthy. V'yu omdin oso omed haroi lo, and then he will get an evaluation that's fit for him. V'chein omdu tchila liyutches. Similarly, a case where they evaluated him originally that he can handle only 18. Ubo v'yom chozru v'omdu shiyochol lekabel arboyim. And that very same day, they reevaluated and said he could handle 40. Igloi milsa, this shows us retroactively, deto the omid rishon, the enoklum, that their original evaluation of 18 was a mistake and was worth nothing. Vilkoch im loko kvar kol shmona esrei, pochenoso, if he nevertheless did receive the 18, he's exempted to keep on the yosubi base in kvar. Since he left Beis Din, Bizoyon Beis Din Hu Lach Zero, it would be an embarrassment to Beis Din to bring him back. Avo Loi Loko, if he did not receive the 18, he didn't receive anything. Rashoyin Lahoisif Al Oimid Rishon, the Enoklum, they are allowed to add to the original evaluation, which was viewed as a mistake. So, all told, the Mishnah, which featured exemption only as a result of the Malkos. However, had there been no Malkos, then there is no exemption. That's because the two evaluations were made on the same day. And we are saying that a person's physical state couldn't have changed too much on one day. And therefore, there is a mistake in one of these evaluations, and therefore he will await a new proper evaluation. Rashi goes on, Ubraisa biamdu lamochar oliyoma uchra, liyom acher. He received an evaluation not regarding today, but he was evaluated that on a later day he will be able to receive such and such a number of lashes. So we say, Dahu vadai umed gomer hu. That situation is a full-fledged evaluation. Sheyofa ainu, they must have investigated it very carefully. Sheyocho ze lekabel ad oiso yoim kach v'kach makos. That in order to come out to a conclusion regarding some future day, that on some future day he would be able to receive thus and thus number of makos, that's a result of a careful, responsible evaluation. Ella nishtane v'hikhish. Rather, something must have changed in this person, and he became weaker. Hilkoch ki omdu la'arboim ad oiso yoim ploni. Therefore, if they evaluated on a particular day that by some later day he will be able to handle 40. Upshigia yom ploni omdu she'en yochel l'kabel kulam. And when that particular day eventually comes around, they say he cannot handle 40. Omed Rishon Omed Gomor Hoyo. We say that the original evaluation was a full-fledged, responsible evaluation. The Hoyo V'nishtana V'niskakel Shein Yochel L'kabel. And since something must have happened with this person and they became weak that he can't handle, Potter Afalpi Shalo Loka. He will not be bound by the original evaluation of 40, even if he did not experience any Malkus, Share Nizbaza Be'oisa Oimud. That original evaluation that we say was in a responsible evaluation, that creates bizoyon. That creates disparagement. V'chi amdu nami l'shmoni esrei ad yom ploni. And likewise, where he received an evaluation that he could handle 18 by a certain day in the future, and when that final day comes around and they say he could handle much more, ein loike el oimed rishon, he will get only 18. The oimed gomor hoya kach nira l'rabi, and that's the way the pshat appears to the rav of the meforosh over here. Turning back to the Mishnah, Ovar Avero Shiesh Bo Shnei Lavin. A person violated in one action two offenses. For example, someone who plows with two different varieties of animals in a vineyard. And in the vineyard there is growing mixed varieties of plants. So that you have two lavin, you have the prohibition of plowing with two different kinds of animals in an area that has grapes and grain growing. Omdu oimed echad loike opoter. If he received an evaluation for the two lavin, there was one evaluation for the two lavin, he gets lashed and is exempt. The imlav, if they did not evaluate for the two lavin, but they evaluate only for one lav, only for one violation, even though he violated two, loike umisrape v'chozer v'loke, he will then get lashed for the one offense that he was evaluated for. We wait for him to get better, and then we'll receive a second set of lashes for the second offense. The Gemara asks, "V'hatanya?" But we have a Tanaic source that says, "Ein oimdin oimed echad l'shnei lavin," that we don't issue one evaluation for two offenses. Oma Rav Sheshes lo kashya. There is no contradiction between the Mishnah and this brisa. Ha diamdu la'arboim v'chado, ha diamdu la'arboim v'tarti. It depends. If the evaluation for the two offenses was 41, then we would say Ein Odin Omed Echod L'Shnei Lav, because 41 is not a number that is divisible by 3. However, if he received an evaluation for 42, then we say that the 42 is as follows. It's 39 for one offense and 3 more lashings for the second offense. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Kol mishum chad lav. Any number up till 39 is considered the number appropriate for one offense. If they add to that number, in the case that a person was guilty of multiple violations, if they add to that number even 3, Tahave Luhu Arboim Vatarti, which would be a total of 42, namely 39 plus 3, 42. Chashuvan Oso Shalosh Omed Lalav Acher. Those additional 3 is considered an omed, is considered a reasonable or proper evaluation for the second offense. The Imlo Hosifa Eloshtaim Makos, if however they added to 39 only 2, Tahavalu Arboim Vachara, which totals 41. He will receive the 39 for one of the two offenses. Umisrape, he will then get better. The choser, the loike, and he'll get a second set of malchus. He'll second set of malchus, which means not just 2, but he might get a full set of 39 more malchus, because the addition of 2, the malchus she'enon reuyus lehishtalish lo malkinenle. A number that cannot be divisible by 3, namely 2 extra malchus is not 3, nor is it divisible by 3, we don't give that to him, and hence the 41 that he was evaluated is really considered an evaluation for only one of the offenses. The Mishnah. This Mishnah features, as we have indicated on the side of our Gemara, the nosei, the topic heading, Ketzad Malkin Oisoi. How is the actual lashing to take place? So the Mishnah says, Ketzad Malkin Oisoi, how is the lashing to be applied? Koifa Shte Yodov Al Ha'amud, Heloch the Heloch. There is a pole, and the defendant's hands are tied to the pole. There's a Rashi here that explains Al Ha'omud, Eitz Echod No'utz Bekaka, the Gavoa Keneged Shtei Amos, O Amo V'chetzi. The height of this pole is either 2 Amos or 1.5 Amos, V'hu Kofuf, V'hu Muta Al Oiso Ha'omud. And the defendant is bent over this particular pole, Ka'odom Hanismach Al B'riach Deles, V'toile Yodov Lemato, and his hands dangle downwards, V'kofsin Lo Yodov, but see the Talmud, and we bind his hands to the sides of this pole. Continuing in the Mishnah, the Chazan HaKnesses Oichez Bivgodov, the official of the court, grabs the victim by his clothing. Im Nikru Nikru, Im Nifru Nifru. If they tear or they if they rip or they tear along a seam. Ad shehu, so be it. Ad shu megala es libo. The his clothing are lowered from his body to the point that his chest is revealed. Vo'evin nesuna me'achorav. There's a stone which serves as a step that's placed behind the defendant. Chazan HaKnesses Oymed Olov, the official, the court official stands on it. Ritzua Biodo Shel Egel Kfulo Echod L'Shnayim U'Shnayim La'Arba'o. And there is a strap made of leather from a calf. That's the strap, in effect, is really two straps that are doubled, so that dangling from this unit, you would see 4 straps. 2 doubled straps. Ushtei ritzuos olos viordos ba. And there are 2 more straps that are attached to this that dangle from it. Yoda tefach, the handle that's attached to these straps, the handle has a length of a handbreadth of a tefach. Urchovo tefach, the width of the straps are a tefach. The roisha magas al pi kresoi, the tip of the strap will reach the edge of his belly. In other words, the straps will be across. He will be lashed across his back with the tip of the strap reaching his keres. Umake oisoi shlish milafonov, ushte yodois milachorov. 1/3 of the lashings will be on his front, on his belly, and 2/3 from on his back. The enoi make oisoi loy oimed veloy yoshev elamuta. The defendant is lashed, not while standing, nor while being seated, but rather bent over. Shnemar v'hipiloi hashofei. V'hamake make biyodoi achas b'chol koichoi. The lashing is done by the court official holding the straps with one hand coming down, and it's done with full force. Kore kore, and the reciter of the verses, while this is taking place, recites in lo yisishmor lasos v'chule v'iflo Hashem es makoyscha v'es makoys v'chule. He recites those particular psukim v'chozer l'tchilas hamikra, and he repeats them. According to the Girsas Hagra, we would continue toward the end of the next line. The im meis tachas yodoi poter. If while these lashings are taking place, the victim dies, so the court official is exempt from going to an ir miklot to golus. Hoisif loi oid ritzua achas imeis. If, however, the court official applied an additional lashing beyond the number that was part of that served as the original evaluation, and the victim dies as a result, the court official is considered in violation of Rotzeach B'Shogeg, and he is to go into exile to an Ir Miklat, to a city of refuge. Niskalkel, if the victim experiences a bowel or a waste release while this is taking place, bein berei, bein b'mayim, poter, whether it be solid waste or mayim, the urine, he is exempted. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ho'ish berei, ho'isha b'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda makes a gender distinction. In order for exemption to take place, if you're dealing with a man, so he only if it's solid waste. With regard to a woman, even if it's liquid. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.